For the next few weeks, we'll be reading from the book of Ruth. But we'll begin with our gospel passage, which today is a brief excerpt from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew. Reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 9, listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So ends the reading. The book of Ruth tells the story of the Moabite woman who would become the great-grandmother of David. The story opens with the tragedy of women being widowed in a man's world. But the bond between Ruth and her Israelite mother-in-law, Naomi, empowers these strong women to take control of their lives. Reading from the book of Ruth, the first chapter, listen again for the word of God.
In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband.
Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband."
Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people."
But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me."
Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her.
So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law."
But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you."
When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, She said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?"
She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?"
So Naomi returned, together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The word of the Lord. Thanks
be
to
God.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful.
So, the Book of Ruth. It is a tiny little book in the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, we sometimes call it. And I'll be preaching through the whole of this book in the coming weeks, the four weeks of Ruth. And feel free to read ahead if you like. It will not take you long. Now, in our Bible, Ruth comes right after the frankly terrifying Book of Judges, which describes the days when there was no king in Israel and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. And here's a trigger warning. Do not read that book right before bedtime. Now, Ruth comes right before the somewhat more edifying first book of Samuel, which is about the beginning of the rule of kings in Israel. But the book of Ruth, just four short chapters long, is nestled between these two narratives full of violence and political struggle in the land of the Israelites. Ruth, which is obviously the story of a woman, is a smaller story, a quieter story, a more personal story, but it is no less riveting or important. Actually, the Book of Ruth could well have been called the Book of Naomi, for it is equally Naomi's story, and she is perhaps an even more active player than Ruth. Now, don't get me wrong. Ruth is wonderful. Some see her as quite a paragon, known through the ages for her faithfulness and loving kindness. But Naomi is admirable, too, and perhaps less intimidating. It might seem hard to be Ruth, so profoundly loving, so truly obedient, so fiercely loyal. Her very name means loving friend. But this is also Naomi's story, the story of her courage, her ingenuity, her faithfulness and love, too, but also of her pain, her grief, her bitterness. And that is where the book of Ruth begins. So today, let's spend some time with Naomi, the woman whose name means pleasant, but whose heart has grown Mara bitter. Our story occurs in the time of the judges when, remember, people did what was right in their own eyes, not God's. Anarchy rules, and perhaps that's why there is famine in the land of Judah. Even in the little town of Bethlehem, Beit Lehem, house of bread, there is no bread to be had. So a man named Elimelech gathers his wife and two sons and emigrates to a foreign country, Moab, in search of a better life for his family. A not uncommon story then or now. Things went well enough at first, but Elimelech died. Still, Naomi had two growing boys to help her. In time, they got married to Moabites, who were traditionally the enemies of Israel, but They were clearly welcoming enough to this family of resident aliens. And so Naomi gained two daughters. Then the sons died, both of them. Moab, it seems, is not a healthy place for the men of Israel. And for Naomi, there she is, a widow in a foreign land with two daughters-in-law depending on her. After 10 years in Moab, all her hard work, all her hopes and dreams have come to nothing. Three widows, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, grief-stricken and alone, with no means of support, no male relative to maintain or protect them. The outlook is bleak indeed. Then comes a sliver of hope. Naomi hears that the Lord has come to the aid of the people of Israel, provided food after the long years of famine. It's just a rumor. There is no "the word of the Lord came to Naomi" announcement. No heavenly messenger appearing to utter that famous angelic phrase, "Do not fear." No vision, no voice, no promise of God's care. All Naomi receives is a whisper of hope. But isn't that faith? Think of those biblical characters who heard voices and saw visions, dreamed high-def dreams, and encountered God in burning bushes, in parted seas, or upon mountaintops. Even they usually had a hard time accepting what God was saying to them. They deny and argue. Naomi, this lost widow, this sad soul, she hears a mere rumor of God's providential care, and off she goes. Bravely, she sets out with her two daughters-in-law, three women traveling alone, not the safest of circumstances then or now. And Naomi is willing to put herself even more at risk to go on alone for the sake of her beloved daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Clearly, this is not the stuff of mother-in-law jokes. These women love and care for one another. Naomi shows her care as she sends Orpah and Ruth away, or tries to. "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." She offers them a kiss and a blessing. "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Their response is so moving. "No way. We won't leave you. We'll go back with you to your people." So Naomi dishes out some tough love, trying to drive them away, although it's no act. We can hear the bitterness in her voice as she cries, "Go home, my daughters. Why on earth would you come with me? Am I going to have more sons to become your husbands? Go home. I'm way too old to get another husband. And even if there was still hope for me, even if I got married tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you stay single till they grew up? Really? No, my daughters, go." And then she lets it out, her hurt, her fear, her grief. "It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." There were more tears, and Orpah kissed Naomi and took her sad leave. But Ruth, she threw her arms around Naomi and held fast to her and sobbed. "Be like Orpah," Naomi almost yells in her desperation. "Go back to your people. Go back to your gods. I can do nothing for you." "Don't push me away," Ruth cries. "Where you go is where I'll go, and where you stay is where I'll stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die is where I'll die and where I'll be buried. May the Lord deal harshly with me if even death separates me from you. It's a heartrending scene. And so the two women, tear-stained, fearful, but bound together by Ruth's vow, make their way back to Bethlehem. Naomi has been gone for 10 years, but she seems to have aged at least 20. Is this Naomi, her old neighbors wonder? Perhaps not with kindness. And again, Naomi gives voice to her pain. Don't call me pleasant Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I left here full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. But what about Ruth? We want to cry. She hasn't abandoned you. We want to hush Naomi up, or at least I do. I want to tell her to stop complaining, to trust God, to take heart. I don't want to hear her pain. But let's not silence Naomi too quickly. Let's not try to shush away her grief and anguish. She's entitled to it, surely. She's in mourning, for one thing. Her husband died 10 years ago, but now her sons are gone and her heart is broken again. If she sees herself as useless because she has no husband, no children, if she sees herself as worthless because she is past childbearing, well, she is, according to her time and her culture. And though she dearly loves Ruth, Ruth is a woman too, widowed, childless, useless. It's no wonder Naomi feels empty, even accursed. So before we judge her, before we shout, snap out of it, lady, get a grip, have some self-respect. Don't let yourself be defined by what other people think. Don't give in to despair. Before we tell her that her hopelessness and lack of self-esteem is a sin, well, if those things are sinful, haven't we most of us been guilty? Haven't we all let ourselves be defined and maligned by our cultural norms? Haven't we all, even for a fleeting moment in the middle of the night, thought maybe the world is right? Maybe I am useless, worthless, empty, accursed. Singleness, childlessness can still be suspect in our culture, maybe even especially if they're by choice. Joblessness, too. What unemployed person hasn't felt that the world thinks her a burden on society, condemns him as lazy? I know retired people who, after years of hard work and dedication, feel lost and insignificant without a job to go to every day. And in today's America, if we are different, we are suspect. Maybe you found yourself immobilized by grief or depression, sidelined by illness, physical or mental. Maybe no one's actually said it to you, but you know what people are thinking. Snap out of it. Get over it. Move on. Or even worse, oh, God has a reason for anything. If you trust God enough, all will be well. Well, we may in time be able to say that to ourselves. But dare we say it to another while their hearts are breaking, their hurt is fresh? Naomi isn't hopeless. She isn't lazy. She isn't faithless. She's hurting. It's almost refreshing to listen to her name her anguish. It's even liberating, for she doesn't sugarcoat her situation. She doesn't offer simplistic platitudes She reminds me of the psalmist giving honest voice to her deepest hurt. And we should listen to her because God does. But let's not forget Ruth. For in Ruth, we hear what it was too soon in her grief and despair, too soon for Naomi to take in. But Ruth reminds us of the God who became her God. The God who says to us, even in the middle of our deepest despair, even as we give voice to our wildest self-doubt, the God who says, don't turn away from me. Don't push me away from you. Don't think you're worthless. Where you go is where I go. Where you abide is where I abide. Always. Not even death can separate you from me. Can you hear God telling you that? Can you feel God's strong embrace? Maybe not. Maybe, like Naomi, all you hear is a faint whisper, just a rumor. Maybe all you feel is just the lightest touch. See, the briefest glimmer of hope in your heart. Learn from Naomi. Follow that sliver of hope, even in your despair. Because this is just the beginning of the story of Naomi, who returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab, who came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Naomi feels empty, but Ruth is by her side. And it's harvest time, the time of fruitfulness and abundance. Weeping may linger for a night, and sometimes the night seems long indeed. But joy comes in the morning. For the mournful are blessed. And the God of whom we think we are unworthy holds fast to us nonetheless. For God's people, joy will come.